Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. About 40 miles south of Baltimore lies an oasis for diamondback terrapins. Poplar Island is a sanctuary for Maryland state reptile and other wildlife, including more than 200 species of birds. On Tuesday, a group of terrapin hatchlings, which spent most of their first year visiting classrooms across the state, will be released onto Poplar Island. The Terrapin Education and Research on Poplar program, also known as the TERP program, is sponsored by the Maryland Port Administration, the Army Corps of Engineers, the National Aquarium, as well as Arlington Echo, an environmental literacy program of Anne Arundel County Public Schools, and the Maryland Environmental Service, an independent state agency that works to develop solutions to environmental problems. Here to tell how the TERP program works is Laura Baker, Outreach and Education Coordinator for the Maryland Environmental Service. Thanks for being here, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
And on the line from Cape May, New Jersey, is Paul Taylor, a fourth grade teacher at Churchill Elementary School in Queen Anne's County. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Hi, thank you.
Poplar Island has become a haven for terrapins. Why is it an ideal habitat for turtles?
So it's a very special remote island habitat. It's surrounded by water, and so we don't have as many predators that we might find on a site that's on the land. So we don't have as many raccoons or foxes, and it's a relatively safe place for birds and terrapins and other kinds of wildlife.
It's 1,000 acres?
Yes.
Tell me more about it.
It was 1,000 acres in over 1,000 acres in 1847 when they took the first official survey. And over the years, like many other island habitats in the Chesapeake Bay, it eroded away. So the wind and the waves washed over the land. And by 1993 or so, we had maybe 5 acres left. Significant erosion.
Has it been restored?
It has, yes, thanks to the Maryland Department of Transportation, Maryland Port Administration, along with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They're taking sediment that's being dredged from the shipping channels in the Chesapeake Bay, and they're putting it on Poplar Island as both a place to hold dredge material and as an ecosystem restoration project.
So how many turtles live on Poplar Island these days?
So we have a hard time estimating the exact population because they spend most of their time in the water and it's hard to count them. But researchers think there's over 1,000 turtles living in and around Poplar Island.
And how many groups of hatchlings have been released there through the TERP program?
Since the program started in 2005, we have released over 2,650 terrapins on Poplar Island.
I understand the driving reason for the TERP program was the decline of the terrapin population. You talked about some of the threats. Were other things that were causing a decline?
Yeah, there's kind of a perfect storm of threats that have affected the terrapin population in the bay. There used to be a commercial fishery, which is now closed. So there is no longer allowed to be a harvest of terrapins. But they also face things like predation.
Predation means?
There's not a whole lot of things that can eat an adult terrapin, but when they are in the egg or when they're hatchlings, they're the perfect bite-sized snack for lots of predators.
And so is that part of why this program started to put baby terrapins in classrooms?
Yeah, so the idea is that over the course of the school year, they get to be about the size of a three-year-old, what a three-year-old terrapin would be in the wild.
And they grow faster in the classroom.
Yeah, because they are not hibernating. So they're spending the winter in a nice, warm, comfortable classroom. They're being fed every day, and they grow faster in a shorter amount of time.
Paul Taylor, I understand your classroom housed two terrapins during the school year, correct?
That's correct.
Why two?
One of the alternative experiments was we would have two turtles and one would be in a different temperature of water than the other. So we've got one in cold water and one in warm water. And it was just another question to be answered by the scientists. Does the temperature of the water affect the growth rate of the turtles? And so over the last couple of years, my school, Church Elementary School, has benefited from this question and you know, as an elementary school student, it just follows through that scientific process very clearly for the kids to see over the course of the year. So it's really an awesome program.
Why did you sign up to take part in the program to begin with?
You know, it's just having something grow and having the kids see something change over the course of the year, you know, something living like a pet. It's just amazing. I mean, the turtles are housed in my classroom, but they really, the whole school benefits from them. We have, it's a K-4 school and a pre-K-4 school. And throughout the course of the year, all 250 kids will be in my classroom at different times of the year. With the fourth graders kind of taking charge of the turtles, and so the fourth graders will share their knowledge. So it gives the little kids a chance to learn something and see something neat, and it gives the big kids, the big fourth graders, a chance to share their knowledge and be the leaders for a little while, be the teachers, and so and of course it's all based on real scientific questions and data, and so it's just. It's really authentic, and it's just a fantastic opportunity. I can't say enough about the program.
Paul, what does it cost for a classroom to participate?
Yearly, we just have tank supplies, such as new filters and salt to make the water brackish for the turtles. We have a heater and a heat light and pellets that are supplied to the turtles. So those are kind of minor costs, but one of the costs that is very important is the bus trip to Poplar Island. And so we couldn't do that trip without the help of Maryland Department of Natural Resources and their aquatic resource education grant that has helped pay for all those supplies and our transportation costs to Poplar Island over the last couple of years.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Paul Taylor, a fourth grade teacher in Quinanz County, and with Laura Baker, the Outreach and Education Coordinator for the Maryland Environmental Service. We're talking about the TERP program, in which classrooms on Maryland's Eastern Shore were given terrapin hatchlings and raised them during the school year. The hatchlings will be released onto Poplar Island next Tuesday. Laura, I just said classrooms on the Eastern Shore. Are all the classrooms that take part in this on the shore?
No, we actually have some partners at the National Aquarium and at Anne Arundel County Public Schools. So between their programs and the program through Maryland Environmental Service, we see students across the state.
And how many classrooms are part of the TERP program?
Since the program began in 2005, we've had over 700 classes release terrapins on Poplar Island.
And of course, part of the reason for it is to give school-age children firsthand experience with wildlife from the bay. Why is that important?
Well, we think that hands-on learning is so important, especially in K-12. And so this gives local students an opportunity to learn about stewardship. They also learn about the Port of Baltimore and how it's related to Poplar Island and how the port is an economic driver in our state. And then they also learn about, population biology and husbandry and how to care for a living thing. And then they're also collecting data at the same time, which is so important when they're learning about the scientific method.
Paul Taylor, how do you incorporate the terrapins into your lessons?
Obviously, there's a strong connection with the environmental literacy piece of the curriculum and the Chesapeake Bay. So it's just using the bay as a backbone for a lot of scientific studies with plants and animals. And this having a real animal in our classroom is, of course, helpful. But, you know, when I have a dry erase board with a chart of data from the two different turtles, and over the course of the year, as the numbers are put on that chart, the kids, fourth graders and all the way down to the pre-Kers, can see these numbers changing for each month. And so it's easy, there are many easy math connections. As one of our responsibilities is to measure the turtles, and we measure the carapace and the plastron, the shell. We measure the weight in grams, and so there's many math connections along with all the science
So you and your students returned your hatchlings in the spring, right, in May?
That's correct, end of May, yep.
What was that like?
Oh, that's the culmination. That's the Super Bowl. That's the you know, everybody looks forward to it. And that's one of my biggest stresses of the year is trying to choose 22 kids, fourth graders, to go on this trip.
Because that's how many could go?
That's the capacity of the boat that transports us from Tillman to Poplar Island. And so it's actually, I think, 24, but you need a couple chaperones. So I estimate about 22 kids go per year. But over the years, I've figured out a method, and it's pretty simple, actually. I've held we call them our Poplar Island meetings during our recess about twice a month. And those that value the turtles and going to Poplar Island to release them gladly give up about, you know, 10 or 12 recesses a year. So it's worked out pretty well that I've gotten around 20 kids every year that are more than willing to miss recess to learn a little bit more about the turtles and to help release them at the end of the year.
Did your kids name the turtles?
Yeah, actually, that's always a fun part of the program. Every year we vote on some names. The fourth graders nominate some names, and we get it down to about four choices, and then the rest of the school gets a say and vote. So this past year, I think we had a Chip and a Rocky, I think. Chip and a Rocky. But all the names are starting to mix together over the years now. So
we get a lot of Squirtles.
Yeah, a lot of who?
Squirtles.
Bubbles.
Mm-hmm. Bubbles.
And Bubbles, yeah.
And Laura, there's another set of hatchlings that will be released on Tuesday. How many?
Four will go back to the bay on Tuesday.
And where have they spent the last few months?
They've been living in our office in Millersville, and we use them as terrapin ambassadors, and they travel with us to schools across the state, and we use them to teach about the work being done at Poplar Island and about terrapin conservation.
What is involved in rehabituating a terrapin who's been living indoors to the island?
So there's a specific time frame. We can't keep them for more than we do, because then the fear is that they will become too used to us and too dependent on us. So in the spring, all year long, all winter long, they get pellets, which are a lot like the fish food. But then in the spring, they get live food like minnows and shrimp and crickets, so that they learn how to hunt and those instincts kick in. And then when the weather gets warm, the releases start in April, and those terrapins go back to their native habitat.
And it's just kind of seamless. I mean, do you observe them? Do they have some issues getting back in the swing of
living outside?
We
say we try to make a point of putting them right at the water line, so they can kind of choose whether they want to go in the water or back up on land. But usually they swim away and seem to be pretty happy.
And then what happens? Do you track their survival?
Yeah, so each turtle gets a chip. We call it a passive integrative transponder, PIT tag. And it's a lot like the microchip that you get for your dog or your cat at the vet's office. So these chips have a distinct number, and they can be tracked in a database. So then Dr. Willem Rosenberg is our lead researcher. He's from Ohio University, and he'll do a mark recapture study. So he will set nets out to try and recapture Head Start terrapins. And if he does, he can go back and scan them and go to his database and track down the teacher and the school where they were raised.
So you can keep track of them
mm-hmm.
that way.
Yeah.
Paul Taylor, you talked about how not just your own students, but the whole school got involved with the two terrapins you had as guests over the school year. Were they sad now that the terrapins are gone?
Yes, some of them are, it's bittersweet. They've seen them grow all year long, and so they are excited to release them into the wild, to their native habitat. But yes, it is. Some of them are more disappointed than others. Some of them, I have kids walk by in the morning from younger grades that stop in to say good morning to the turtles. And, they're a little disappointed, but they're looking forward to fourth grade when we have two new hatchlings. And, this the program that Laura and MES provide is just amazing. And so it has been part of our school for the last 5 or 6 years, I think. And there are kids that they've seen them, and they've been part of the program since they in pre-K. And so, you know, when they get to fourth grade, they're like, I finally get to, be in charge. So they're excited.
Well, I appreciate you both telling us about it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much.
Paul Taylor teaches fourth grade at Churchill Elementary in Queen Anne's County. Laura Baker is Outreach and Education Coordinator for the Maryland Environmental Service. We have links to more information about the TERP program at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast. Quick break now, and when we're back, a STOOP story.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.